Limited and Tawny Bridgeford from the National Mining Association. And I thank you both for being available and for being our panelists today to kind of compare and bring us up to date on the activities on the AML front. Steve Moyer is the Vice President for Government Affairs of Trout Unlimited. He's headquartered in Arlington, Virginia. He is TU's senior advocate on Capitol Hill and with federal agencies. He works with TU's local chapters and state councils to help them with their state and local advocacy efforts and develops the and implements TU's grassroots advocacy campaigns. Steve has been extremely fortunate to work in the fish and wildlife conservation field since 1980 and for Trout Unlimited for the past 28 years. For his conservation accomplishments, and according to Steve, most assuredly not for his fishing prowess, he was inducted into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame in 2014. Congratulations on that accolade, Steve. Tawny Bridgeford is the Deputy General Counsel and Vice President of Regulatory Affairs at the National Mining Association in DC. Tawny has represented the mining industry for the past 16 years on legal, regulatory, and policy issues under the Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation and Liability Act, the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act, the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, and the Toxic Substances Control Act. Tawny has been expanding her portfolio over the last several years to include NMA's chemical security and air quality portfolios. She is a graduate in 2004 of the American University's Washington College of Law, and she obtained her Bachelor of Sciences at Cornell University in 1999, where she majored in natural resources. So I welcome you both, and I believe Steve is going to kick off the discussions, and then Tawny will also provide some of her insights, and then the two of them will trade back and forth during the discussions. So Steve, welcome aboard and looking forward to the discussions.
And thank you so much for having me and Trout Unlimited to participate in this. And we surely appreciate the organization's attention to this issue. It doesn't get nearly attention. It's not high enough on the priority list of getting things fixed. So all who are trying to make it a higher priority, we really appreciate it. I'm Steve Moyer. I've been involved in this issue a long time, and I'll summarize a little bit of the background of where we are and where we've gotten to, and then Tawny will add her comments onto that. We'll talk a little bit about the draft bill that we both worked on and is secretly awaiting in a computer, but it has not seen the light of day yet. And then we'll talk a little bit about the future of AML and Good Sam. And I just wanted to really say at the beginning too, to thank you to NMA and to Tawny for being such good partners in trying to find a path forward on Good Samaritan policy and AML cleanup. To begin with, one sentence, TU is not happy with where abandoned mine land hard rock cleanup is now in this country. We think it's a very bad thing to have all the orange water continuing to spew out of abandoned mines in this country. I'm fond of saying here in Fairfax County, Virginia, if we had orange water in our streams, we would fix it within a week, I'm quite sure. But it continues unabated and not treated in so many places in the West. In the East, just for comparison, and I think it's useful to mention, there are quite a few more active cleanup projects in place, especially in Pennsylvania, where there is a state Good Samaritan policy that helps ensure that work can get done. So, you know, one of our angles here is that we are trying to do in the West with hard rock AML cleanup a lot of what we're doing already in the East in coal country, where it's easier to get this work done. And it's deeply frustrating to us that we can't get more done in the West. So that's why we've been involved for a long time in trying to develop Good Samaritan policy and just legislatively excuse me, our work goes all the way back to the mid-2000s. 2006 was the high water mark where we actually passed a bill out of Environment and Public Works Committee. And since then, there have been lots of hearings, there have been bills, but not much progress until more recently in 2016, we actually had a draft Good Samaritan bill that had the support of both the Colorado senators and had a hearing. We were making pretty good progress then, but it didn't get too far. 2018, again, after a couple of years of hard work, Senator Gardner introduced the bill by himself. We couldn't get Senator Bennett on that bill. So what TU decided to do, because we've had so much at stake with the issue, so much involvement, we really tried to be a convener of a stakeholder group discussion to try to, basically figure it out on our own to then hand to the senators and Congress and say, look, here's a starting point, at least, that you might want to consider. And just by the way, TU has a fair amount of hard rock AML cleanup going on in the West. It's limited because of the liability issues, but some of Tawny's members have supported us financially, and we really appreciate that. And we get some foundation funding and, of course, some individual TU member funding. So there is work going on. We know how to solve this problem, but we could really do a lot more of it if we had some limited liability protection through Good Samaritan policy. So just over the last 2 years, and really we started in March of 2019, convened a stakeholder group of all the relevant groups that we could think of in Washington, D.C. offices, and had a really good discussion over several hours. I thought people did really well at behaving and kind of leaving their most strident views on the shelf. So got off to what we thought was a good start on the stakeholder process in March of 19, and really have just been grinding through a series of issues ever since and trying to develop a draft bill. And I'll let Tawny talk some more about that, but what we wound up doing was really talking the most to NMA and then environmental groups and really trying to go back and forth on these key issues to try to resolve them. And we did come up with what we thought was a really quite a good draft, quite a usable draft that would have, we think, served quite well as a starting point for deeper and more actionable legislative discussions. And I'll just mention one key feature was that we really got agreement that we would try to do a pilot program. And instead of having the ability of EPA to authorize projects across the West, we decided to just limit it to 15 projects across the West as a way of, really limiting the risk that some people thought is inherent with doing these projects to just 15 projects and proving the concept over a period of 7 years for an authorization to then go back to Congress and show them that we could do it. And then hopefully after that, we would have a more expansive program. So that was one key feature that I wanted to just mention. But as I mentioned, we have been grinding along up till now. We really thought we had a bill that the two Colorado senators would be willing to introduce and others would co-sponsor, but we don't. You have not seen that bill yet. We had hoped to come to you today with a PowerPoint that would take you through the bill. Maybe we will in April, right, Tawny? That'll get us there. But I'll just finish by saying that election year politics was especially hard on us, and of course there are other reasons as well. But we tried really hard. We made some good progress, and I'll let Tawny talk about that. But we're really hopeful, and I'll mention just at the end of the talk that we're really hopeful that the new administration will look at this issue and see it as a real benefit to do a lot more work on. And the same with the Congress. We're hopeful to come to Congress and get the bill moving and passed in the new Congress. And So with that, I'll turn it over to my partner, Tawny.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. And thank you, Anne and Susan, for organizing this virtual event today. Wish we could be doing this in person this year, but fingers crossed for an April summit. I see on the participant list quite a few recognizable names from my membership. You know, I am one member of a team within the mining industry and an NMA that has been working on this issue for several years, if not decades. Supported by my colleagues within NMA, but also my mineral producer members out west, our state mining association, and certainly the American Exploration and Mining Association as well. We've teamed together to bring all of our expertise to the table to negotiate a bill. Steve, thanks for focusing in on the fact that we are looking at pilot project legislation. That's really important. Particularly as we try and move past sort of the stalemates that have occurred over the last couple of decades in getting this across the finish line. But wanted to mention first and foremost, you know, this is also a high priority for National Mining Association and its minerals producer members. Good Sam has always been on our high priority list. We understand the issues and the concerns regarding abandoned mine lands and the ongoing pollution in our western waters and soils. We want to be a solution to this problem. This is based off of hundreds of years of legacy mining before modern mining and modern mining regulations had come into place. Now that we are in 2020, mining companies want to bring their equipment and their expertise to these abandoned mine land sites that they were not responsible for, and bring improvement and environmental resolve to these issues. If you've been part of these summits in the past, you've heard myself or other lawyers or policy wonks talking about the liability concerns and those real obstacles to allowing companies to play a real solution here. And that's why we are so involved in this Good Samaritan legislation, because we see it really as one of the number one tools to open the door to companies to go in and do the cleanup themselves. In the interim, however, as Steve mentioned, our member companies support Trout Unlimited's work. They fund Trout Unlimited's work and other projects. They also partner within their communities and do as much as they can to help try and solve this problem. But the problem is very large, and it's a problem that we take seriously. And that's why we are so hopeful and spend a lot of resources on trying to find this legislative solution. And it's one that we certainly need. We were really happy after the introduction of the last Senator Garder and Congressman Tipton bill back in 2018 that Steve and his team had suggested all of us coming to the table. I think prior to that, we were individually speaking to members of Congress and their staff about what we thought should be part of that bill, but what really needed to happen, and we are so grateful that TU facilitated this discussion, was for all of us to be at the table. NMA, AEMA, mining companies, Trout Unlimited, various conservation groups, various experts that have been talking about this for decades. It was really important that everyone had a safe spot to express their points of view, where they were coming from, what solutions they had to bring to the table. And I think that built trust amongst ourselves and TU, and I think other groups as well. And that's what laid the foundation for us for over the last 2 years to be going back and forth. And it certainly was a grind at times, but these are important issues. And I think that we made considerable progress, even if it took almost 2 years to do so. We did start off, and to you, Steve, I think you and your team had developed a one pager back in the day that kind of listed probably about 20 issues that you had seen over the last couple decades as being maybe not necessarily all controversial, but issues that, you know, folks could constantly debate about how to handle that. I think over the course of 2 years, we really boiled those issues down to five basic sort of buckets of things that we needed to work through to find bipartisan compromise on how to deal with this. So I'll run through those just briefly. First, starting with in a Good Sam legislative fix, what are the environmental goals and standards for those projects? you know, there had been a lot of discussion previously about strict water quality standards. We were looking at it from the aspect of a pilot project legislation, 15 low-risk projects that was a requirement to be eligible under this legislation. We just really wanted to have measurable progress towards achieving those water quality standards, making improvement, not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. We've used that phrase many, many times over the course of the last 2 years. So that was like the first, I think, negotiating thing. What environmental standard are we cleaning up to? Now, obviously, if projects could clean up to water quality standards, that was available as well. But we didn't want to take projects off the list if you could see significant improvement that would benefit the communities. The second issue bucket was the environmental review and public comment, making sure that people had a voice into the process, making sure that the permitting process was appropriately being vetted through the federal government. This is all really about NEPA and how that would work in a pilot project legislation. Third is that how do you handle reprocessing? While we realize that in a pilot project legislation, those first 15 projects probably wouldn't involve reprocessing, these are low-risk projects, I think members around the table saw this as an opportunity to set a marker down of, would you allow reprocessing? How would you allow reprocessing? What would you require of applicants to prove before that could happen? A lot of concern from certain stakeholders that reprocessing was really just a way to allow mining without going through the proper permitting process, which of course was not the intention of reprocessing in general. So a lot of time was spent around the details of how to allow that to happen. It is an important way of fixing some of the abandoned mine land issues out west. We did want to work through those issues even in a pilot project legislation because we do see this as being a general marker for down the road when we can hopefully, fingers crossed, create a broader Good Sam program that would cover all sites across the country. Fourth was, how do you structure the liability provisions? What does that cover? What happens if something goes wrong and the Good Samaritan hasn't met its entire permit obligations? A lot of conversation around how far the liability goes, are there penalties, et cetera. And then finally, citizen suits, having an added sort of enforcement perspective where you could have citizens sue if they believed that an applicant wasn't doing everything they said they did or didn't trust that the federal government was appropriately making sure that what was happening on the ground was correct. So citizen suits, I think, are certainly one of the biggest issues that we have grappled with for decades with, I think everyone knows, the mining industry vehemently rejecting that kind of concept for this particular program where you have volunteers coming in and using their resources and expertise and doing it with an appropriate permitting process and under appropriate government observation, and thinking that citizen suits would really be a deterrent for companies to come and volunteer to do that work. So not all of these issues are easy. I think that NMA and TU, we certainly bring different perspectives to each of those issues that I highlighted, but I think we've had a really great and productive and respectful discussion of how to tackle those so that we can come to a middle ground. And I think on both sides, each given to the other as that negotiation has undergone over the last 2 years. I think hopefully if we can get this bill introduced, the public will see a pretty good difference between what was introduced in 2018. It's a stronger bill. It reflects a bipartisan view on how to tackle these issues out west, and I think it would allow companies to certainly participate in more cleanups, which is certainly the goal. So with that, Steve, I don't know if you wanted to comment on any of the five issues that I highlighted.
No, I don't think I will. I think we can go to discussion, but I thought you did a good job of covering them. You know, I think I'll just end by saying that there's a lot of talk about infrastructure legislation being something that could get bipartisan support to help with COVID recovery, as well as do a lot of good things across the country. And I would see this kind of work, the AML cleanup work, as being something that would be a good, you know, this in TU's point of view, that would be something that would be a good fit for an infrastructure bill. Good rural jobs, rural work, helping communities not only clean up these old messes, but help put people to work. So, you know, that's one of the angles that I think we'll be looking at next year. But of course, there's lots of different ways to legislate. And I think, you know, all of you out there can help any way you can help us. I think we'd be really open to hearing about it and working with you to get it done. And, you know, again, next year, we'll look for to NMA to be a partner in seeing if we can make that happen. I think that's all I had. Johnny, any more from you?
No, I'll just reemphasize that we were really hopeful for introduction prior to the election. And unfortunately, I think just due to timing and the election, it just did not happen. And our champion in Senator Gardner, with his loss out in Colorado, we're definitely going to have to find some other champions. But we've got our short lists, and we know there are a number of congressmen and senators that equally support these efforts, even if they hadn't been the lead in the past. And so we're looking forward to creating a new sort of advocacy roadmap to get this introduced as soon as possible next year.
Excellent. Thank you both for that. And thanks for laying out, Tani and Steve, how this partnership evolved and started and evolved and has evolved over the years. It's great working with conservation groups that help all of us go out and, like you said, make improvements. So don't let perfect be the enemy of improvement, and get in the way of getting some really great work done. So over these 3 years that we've kicked off these AML summits, I think we've all learned varying partnerships, and TU remains really at the top in helping us and get a lot of really good work done on the ground, and as well as it's helped other conservation groups come out into the forefront for us to be able to partner with as well. I know that during our April 2021 summit, we will be covering the issues in much more detail. Thanks, Tani, for laying those out. Just in looking at the chat room, I don't see any real specific questions. There was Bill Cross wrote that he represents a new technology company, Avid Water Technology, with a proven ability to clean up AMD without using caustic chemicals. That's a good thing. And so I've written back to him and indicated that maybe there'd be an opportunity for their group to come and participate in April. But Bill, if you had a more specific question, I think he's looking at how can they get access to everybody's expertise within this AML working group, and maybe participate and possibly help to fund some of the pilot programs that are out there. So it's great that already we see that this expanding interaction, you know, is bringing in additional partners that we didn't know about before. And I don't, if anybody's got any very specific questions, please type them in. The only thing that comes to mind for me is what particular topics would you guys like us, both you, Steve, and Tani, would you like to see us focus on at the AML Summit in Phoenix in April? We try to, you know, we learned a bunch with the first one. We launched into the second one. We want to kind of keep those learning curves going. Based on what you've seen in the evolution of potential legislation language over this past year or two, is anything fall out of there of topics that either one of you would like us to make sure that we focus on in April 2021?
I think from my perspective, as the legislative machine churns on or doesn't move, however that may happen next year, you know, we'll continue to be tackling these issues on a legislative side. But in the interim, I think the mining industry is really interested in how improvements can be continued without legislation. If to you, if Steve, if you guys have any projects that are in the works, I think I read about one particularly happening with the Forest Service or how states are addressing the topic. Even if mining industry isn't able to be the source of the removal, the remedial action on a voluntary basis, we would certainly be open to hearing how there's success still happening on the ground without legislation. And I know EPA has announced its new Western office, and assuming that that decision sticks in the next administration, hearing from their acting office director, Shahid Mahmood, would be very interesting to see what activities they have planned to try and encourage and get some pilot projects of their own up and running under their existing administrative policies.
Thanks for the question, Ann and Tony. Those are great ideas. And I just put a fine point maybe on continuing to look at good model projects to help inspire us all to, for the technical doability for sure, but also to remind the policymakers how doable and how beneficial it really is. So maybe that would be my suggestion. You know, I just wanted to say also to your question that in retrospect, we did a lot the last 2 years, but what we didn't do in focusing on drafting the legislation was really do a good grassroots advocacy effort on the ground to get people to chime in and just fundamentally tell Congress that this is needed. You know, we don't have a bill yet, but we do need people to say it's needed. It needs to be done. So I think next time around, we'll not make that mistake or not have that as a weakness in our plan. So we got this legislation, I think pretty well cooked, or at least a good starting point. And then we're gonna go back and remind all our partners and friends that they need to have their voices heard about the need for the legislation.
Excellent point. There was a question about where do we register for the April summit, and Susan wrote in the chat box that we'll be putting that information up in the first part of next year, sometime in January, as we continue to nail down the particulars of that. If there are no other questions, I'll keep monitoring in case somebody throws another Can the speakers comment on opportunities that mine cleanup might present for locating new water resources for municipal or other end uses? I saw a news article that Aurora Water has pursued a pretty innovative project to reclaim contaminated mine water for its system, and I wonder what the greater prospects are for that partnership and that kind of approach.
I wish I knew more myself. Wow. That sounds great. To me, that's exactly the kind of thing that it would be great to know more about. Water in the Colorado River Basin, not enough of it, right? And a lot of what's there is polluted. How do we make better use out of that limited resource? That seems like a great question as it relates to abandoned mine cleanup.
Yeah, and I know, just to put an exclamation point on it, the pilot projects that we've all been talking about are damp to dry, and that we've been focusing on non-wet projects for cleanup, just so we can get some work done, and the liability around the Clean Water Act is a hurdle that we just can't seem to get over just yet. But with that kind of cleanup, where we make these significant improvements in various watersheds, it leads to cleaner water, even if we're not touching the water that we're dealing with. But Nick, I think it's Nick Damasio, and apologies if I mispronounced your last name. If you could send us a link to that news article, share it with Susan. You can share it with me as well. That'd be great. I'd be happy to include something like that in our discussions at the AML Summit, even though we're attempting not to step into the water arena. It still would be kind of a nice discussion to be able to wrap our heads around a different end use for some of these cleanup waters. Thanks for mentioning that, though. And I think that's it. The City of Arroyo is working with Joe Harrington, a mine owner of the London Mine in Breckenridge area, to utilize water rights associated with the mine to provide water supply to the city. Suggest reaching out to Joe Harrington. That's a great idea. Thank you so much for that. I'll make sure, Susan, I'll just request that you try to capture that information out of the chat room so that we can kind of monitor that. I'll go back up. Katie Walton Day asked, how does remining old mine waste play into the Good Sam legislation? She apologizes if somebody described that as just her internet's a bit unstable. I think all of our internet's a bit unstable these days. So if you guys could address that, that'd be great.
I can tackle that first. There are provisions within the legislation that Steve and I have been working on that addresses allowing what we call reprocessing of, I think it's mine residue is the term within with the draft legislation, but how that is allowed within the permitting process, the construct of that permitting process. So what would an applicant who would like to engage in a reprocessing activity need to do? What would they submit to the federal government? What kind of documents? It would proceed through the same permitting and NEPA review process as the other types of projects that don't involve reprocessing. So just making sure that that is treated just as seriously within the permitting framework as any other. But the bill makes it clear that that's not a loophole to allow mining. We're talking about reprocessing of probably tailings, waste rock, where you have existing mining infrastructure that's already been permitted that could take that process in. So just want to make sure that folks know that remining or reprocessing doesn't mean illegal mining or the start of a new mine or exploration for a new mine. It's about dealing with the waste that you're trying to remove that contamination from that particular area. And some of that waste does have valuable minerals within it that can be reprocessed and turned into product and used.
Right. Yeah, and what you do is take it off of the raw ground and put it onto a lined facility that is in a mine site within the parameters of a permitted mine site that has much more stringent environmental controls on it than just leaving it on the ground.
Exactly. Thanks for adding that,
Anne. Yeah, no worries. No worries at all. Steve, did you have anything to add to that?
You know, I think what the other provision we had, at least for the pilots, was that if the mining company did reprocessing, that the quote unquote profit would have to be reinvested back into other abandoned mine land work, or help to pay for the work done on the site. So environmentalists in particular were worried about new Good Sam policy being some sort of an incentive for additional mining that they were worried about. So that was the other safeguard that was put in, I'm pretty sure, Tawny, into this bill.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Steve. That's a really significant aspect of the negotiations, I think, over the last 2 years, is how we're dealing with reprocessing and having any profits that come from that getting pushed back into AML fund and in that project if necessary. So this isn't profit driven, it's cleanup driven.
Right. And there's an expense to reprocessing that material, but yeah, it would be good if there is a profit that comes out of it, then feeding it. I hear that the environmental community wanted to see that profit got shared back into additional cleanups. Another question, has Arizona been involved in discussions regarding AML projects and Good Sam?
Tony, feel free to take that one. Not as much to my knowledge. The overlap between trout habitat or potential trout habitat, abandoned mines and cleanup is not as significant in Arizona as it is in Colorado, Montana, Idaho. And I see Jason Willis, who is our practitioner extraordinaire, is on the chat at least, and he'll keep me from going off the rails. But Tony, you should help me answer that one. It's not nearly as much as some of the other states.
From a mining perspective, we have Arizona producers who have been engaged in the conversation and are actively supporting Good Samaritan. I can't speak for what state officials are doing within the state of Arizona, but it certainly is a high priority for my Arizona producers.
Yeah, and I think across the country, I think Steve Trout Unlimited has worked, you know, kind of coast to coast on various projects. And across the country, I think the mining industry, no matter what the materials are being extracted, everybody's interested in cleanup and making some improvements. Most of us were not around in the 1800s when these things got kicked off. So, but we see that they didn't have the stringent environmental regulations that we have now. And so most of us practitioners in the field, most of us in mineral development would like to see and be able to be a part of the solution to get cleanup going. So another question we have is, are there international success stories on how AML cleanups are accomplished through different legislative approaches? Perhaps can these be used in advocacy efforts to Congress, et cetera? Do you guys do much comparison on an international front, Tani, with regard to how other cleanups are going on, or do you just sort of focus on our shores instead?
We focus on our shores, not that we're not interested in what's happening internationally. We do have an international component to our association in tracking what's going on across the world. But I think when we're looking at Good Samaritan, you really do just have to look at the construct of the law that you have in your country and how that does or does not allow these projects to happen. And if it does not, how do you fix that to allow them to happen in an environmentally beneficial way? That's why I think you're so focused just on what does the Clean Water Act let me do? What does Superfund let me do?
Right.
And why you get so bogged down in those legislative details.
Yeah, that's a great point. And every country has got a different set of regs or focus that would change it up. Another question, could participants get a list and general location state of the proposed pilot projects?
There are no pilot projects yet because the legislation hasn't passed, but we're hopeful that groups would have their lists ready and willing to start applying for those once that program was live.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent answer. I think since the very first summit that we kicked off, it spurred each of the states who participated, and obviously we're getting more and more expanded state participation, but it motivated them to begin to look for, well, what could be a pilot project for us inside of each one of our state boundaries, and then we're ready, like you said, we're ready to be able to participate when the legislation provides that avenue. Does the bill have provisions for sponsoring research by companies or academia?
Don't think so. I don't recall that. But we could certainly think about that and including it at some point.
Yeah,
what's
I do think that's
it. Could always get changed, right, Steve?
No, absolutely. We're just trying to put something forward that others can see and add to. That sounds like a good idea. There were definitely there's reporting requirement back to Congress to tell Congress how the pilots went. So there, you know, there certainly would be a research or a monitoring evaluation component to it, but that seems like a good concept.
Yeah, and Jason Sutter, who is one of our panelists in the upcoming April 2021, he was the panelist in the 2020, so he's carrying forward for our next summit, but he wrote, the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality has been focusing within the last 2 years on legacy mine site identification and remediation. There could be an opportunity there for further support. I agree. Jason, thank you for that. And I think we've seen each of the states across the West begin to kind of put these lists together and have a higher focus on the legacy sites. Nevada does a brilliant job in addressing their abandoned mine lands, especially from a safety perspective, but they've also formed some really interesting partnerships near municipalities that have led to significant cleanups, working with the municipalities to fund the voluntary cleanup, if you will, to create safer sites, but also cleaned up and restored sites. So I think there, as you guys have indicated, there's just a growing desire for all of us to get out there and make these improvements. Jason Sutter also provided Arizona DEQ's sites, a website that takes you to that. If initial focus is on dry sites, then won't the environmental improvement be less significant? Should the focus be more on those sites with the greatest potential for reaping truly significant environmental improvements, which would largely be water quality related? So great question for both of you guys to address.
So I think just to clarify, the Good Samaritan pilot project legislation would actually allow groups like Trout Unlimited and companies to do those more complex projects that involve water issues. I think the projects that are happening now on the ground are more dirt removal, but this pilot project legislation, and yes, it's focused on low risk sites. That was intentional because as we've seen over the last couple of decades, there just is still a distrust that you can do this and not harm the environment. And so we wanted to build that trust and prove that it could be done to at least have legislation that would allow some sites that have water issues to be tackled under a pilot project legislation. You can do it, you can prove that it's gonna be done, and then hopefully we could pass a separate bill that would allow even greater, bigger projects to be tackled in the future. But if you can't get a piece of legislation over the finish line and allow the projects to happen, we'll be forced to still just focus on dirt removal and not the real important issues out there.
Yeah, that's well said, Tony. And just to add, you know, the Clean Water Act is the biggest challenge. So doing some sort of treatment of polluted water is what we're trying to get to and work through the Clean Water Act via Good Sam policy to do it. So really, the questioner had a great question. I would say we're trying to hit the sweet spot of getting a lot of environmental value, fisheries value, out of low risk projects that can prove the concept, right? That's what we're trying to do. And just the more, you know, the more complexity, the more risk there is, you know, we'll get there someday, I hope, you know, and I'm pretty confident, but I think for right now, we're just trying to hit the sweet spot of good benefit, low risk, and, you know, doability and provability.
Yeah, that's great. The next question that I see, and thank you both for addressing that. Does in situ mine waste remediation fall under the definition of a dry site? Good question. Jason Willis answered yes, just succinctly, yes.
Thanks, Jason.
if I wait long enough, Jason will get it right.
I guess It would also in situ mine waste remediation. So, I mean, you know, if you had a wet tailings that's in situ, I think you'd probably, in our current pilot program focus, we probably wouldn't touch something like that. But it really depends, right? Each of the sites so unique, and we've been able to see through various partnerships the improvements. So how about the Tiger Tunnel for a site, Jason? Okay, now James, Jim Gusick and Jason. Jason's response, ha, we currently use that treatment on our dry sites under existing good SAM protections. So, yeah.
Yeah, you guys should have figured it out and then tell Congress that you can do it. That's I love watching the chat. And Jason is really extraordinarily good at it. It just makes me think of what our problem is, right? Is that it's up on the side of the mountain and people really can't see what we're doing clearly enough. It's just a perfect example of, you know, a little bit out of sight, a little bit out of mind. And we just need to make it a higher priority and better understanding with the decision makers.
Right. Well, let me see if we have any more. It looks like, what kind of characterization methodologies are desired and can be provided to academics, maybe, to better know what the materials are, where the metals are situated, mineralogy, etc. And that really goes to, you know, the site-specific issues. Every site's different, has a different mineral and metal load, and has way different parameters. So we generally, I think, in our discussions, we've certainly seen that the way that we have to characterize a mine wannabe site, a site that we're looking for to develop and isn't a permitted mine, has to go through a whole suite of characterizations, from geochem to, you know, geotechnical stabilities. So I think it's there's a whole suite of testing and characterizations that we do. Are there specific ones, Steve, that you and your group kind of look to do? Do you have a punch list, if you will, or is it, you know, every site's different and it drives a different methodology?
You know, I'm going to plead nearly 100% ignorance and let Jason put a chat word in. Just in terms of the bill, though, you know, we have broken things down where there, you know, there's a burden on the applicant to characterize the site and really describe the problem and, you know, try to nail it as, you know, as best you can reasonably nail it within the amount of money that you have to do that assessment work. And then, of course, have a good practical plan for remediation. So that's those sorts of things that would be spelled out in the bill.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that looks like it. We're rolling up on a good solid hour of great discussions. Really appreciate both of you guys coming on and leading our first kickoff forum. Very much appreciate it. You've given us a lot to think about what our approach is going to be this next year as we migrate into this next phase. So, yeah, either of you have any closing comments you want to pass on to the attendees?
You know, I'll just say be hopeful. This restoration work is such a great, you know, uplifting, hopeful work that those of you who are practitioners and states do. I think we need to keep telling people about the benefits and the joy and the uplift of it all to be able to open the path to get more done.
Yeah, that's a great point. How about you, Tawny?
I think I would just end with, you know, we're really working hard inside the Beltway to allow change to happen out west, and It's a struggle with our government sometimes to get bipartisan good bills passed, but we'll continue to fight the good fight. And I just look forward to continuing to learn from this group in upcoming summits and engaging in the conversation. Again, this is a high priority for my association and my members and trying to find solutions to this issue, and appreciate our partnership with Trout Unlimited, and just looking forward to continuing that work next year.
That's great. Well, thank you both. Susan, do you have any closing comments for us?
No, except that we will post the recorded version of this session on our website. It takes us a while to get everything edited, so give us a little bit of time, but eventually we'll get it up on our website if you want to revisit it.
Great. Thank you so much. And thanks to MMSA for helping to continue the discussions on this. We'll see you guys at the next forum. I think we'll probably have another one in January. And any of the participants, go ahead and send in your ideas about what the next forum could be. We want to carry these forums on right up to the launch of our April 2021 summit. Thank you so much to Steve and Tawny. You guys have been great. Appreciate it. And
thanks
to all
everybody.
The participants. Yeah, we had a good 65 strong, so that was awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ann.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a safe holiday.
Yeah, happy holidays, everyone.